This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, Cheryl. Go ahead.
you were starting out so strong. I thought you were going to say something else.
I was starting out strong to plow through because my computer's running out and I have a Zoom in a few minutes
that's unrelated
to the show. And, you know, it's...
Yeah, we are... There's a lot to talk about. We've got...
A lot of J-Lo talk, let's be honest.
There's a lot of ass shaking and... dancing and and even bigger themes.
Yes. And even smaller themes. We managed to get on to even smaller themes.
Okay, ladies and jerks, welcome to Jennifer Lopez Halftime.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig, hey.
Hey, Cheryl, hey.
Happy summer.
Happy summer.
I don't know if that's a thing, but... We can start it.
Is today...
No. Official in some way? No. I'm just saying I'm sweaty. So it reminds me that it's summertime and I'm just, you know, being...
Sweaty.
Yeah.
Are you in a dress?
I am in a dress.
I'm not.
Well, have you... When was the last time... I don't want to say have you ever worn a dress because I'm sure... Well, I'm not sure you have, but have you?
I have.
It's none of my business. But
no,
how long has it been?
Well, I haven't been keeping track of time. But, oh, you know what? Actually, I know when the last time I wore a dress was.
When?
The last time I wore a dress was, actually, I knew you.
Okay.
I played Joan Jett's mother in the Runaways movie and was cut out.
Oh, well, then that will, I was about to say, oh gosh, I never saw it. So I don't remember your performance, but I'm glad I didn't say, well, oh, you were great in that film. Cause that would have made me look
like
ridiculous.
A liar. I remember when I was wearing the dress.
Yeah.
I was in my trailer on set, just like, oh my God, how did I end up in this role? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Did you audition for it?
No, they wanted me to audition. And I was like, I had such little acting experience and my manager had submitted me for this role. Joan Jett was the EP and they were wanting me.
Recognizes alert! Starting out strong.
Starting out strong. But I'm a big fan of Joan Jett's, and I was telling my manager, I was like, I'm not going to go audition in front of her to play her mother. I don't know how to act. You know what I mean?
So they just offered you, they're like, okay, great. Then we'll just hire you.
Yeah, I just kept saying, no, I'm not doing that. And then he would be like, okay, well, He'd say they've moved along in the casting. They still haven't found someone, and you're still their number one choice. And I was like, oh no. I was terrified. And then he said, they really want you to come. And I had this show in Alaska, and I had taken like little planes to get there, and I'm scared to fly. And I was just like, I'm not going to fly home to go spiral in front of Joan Jett, you know? And so I just said, I'm not going to go. And yeah, they offered me the role. And I was in my trailer putting my dress on.
That is insane.
And then I was like mortified, and I had heels on. And then they came and knocked on my door in the trailer.
Did you have lines in this film?
Yeah. Oh, and I was opposite Kristen Stewart.
Oh my God.
And so I'm like, they knock on my door. I open it, and the person that has come to escort me to set
is goes
and starts laughing as soon as I open my trailer door. And my biggest fear came true, was that I looked ridiculous. And then sure enough, this woman laughs, and I was like, oh no. And she goes, I'm sorry. She said, I'm just really familiar with you. And I had a wig on, I had a dress on, I had heels on, and I was like, oh gosh, I look so stupid. And she was just like, I'm sorry, I'm just, you know, that's an awkward beginning. We get in the van to go to set, and we stop at another trailer and pick up Joan Jett.
Oh my God.
And then Joan Jett gets in the van, and this is not the outfit I was hoping to be in the day I met Joan Jett, you know? And she's like, hey, what's going on? You know, like, hi, awkwardly in this outfit with probably a crooked wig on.
I hope you have a, do you have a picture of this? Please say yes.
I do.
Can we put, can we post it on Instagram? So
I don't know.
Please, everybody wants to see this.
Nobody's even listening.
No, the three people that are listening. So when you got on set, were you like, okay, I'm stepping into the role of Joan Jett?
No, well, I'm not. I know. I've never been like, oh, I'm stepping into any role. I was like, oh gosh, I hope I remember my lines. And then it was nerve-wracking because Joan and her mother were at Video Village watching on the screens.
Oh.
And I was just like, no, no. It's just, you know, I
everything about this is not good. Like, yeah. Why would they hire you if I were casting a film and
you wouldn't hire me?
The feedback I got back was, oh, this actor doesn't want to come in because they don't feel like they're a good actor.
Manager wasn't saying that. He wasn't saying that. He was like, oh, she's on tour.
Oh, I see.
She can't cancel her show.
Oh, I see.
And we both thought for sure they were going to move on and pick somebody else. And they did not. They chose me. And then I embarrassed myself in a wig and high heels and a dress. And then I was cut out of the movie.
Oh my God. That is terrifying. My God. But did you feel like you did a good job, or do you feel like
no? No. The whole time I just felt like I was in drag doing a terrible job. And you know what's even more hilarious? And I don't know that our listeners will necessarily
care,
but okay. I know what it was. This all started because I put myself on tape.
Oh, so you put yourself on tape for this part.
Originally. And then they wanted me to come in. I forgot about that. Then they wanted me to come in and meet with Joan.
Okay.
And the director. And I was like, no way in hell am I flying home to meet with Joan Jett and audition. I was just like, there's just no world. I was too much of a fan to go, you know, stroll around with my poor acting skills in front of her. And I had not told my manager to submit me for this. So I had gotten into a situation. So when I did the video, when I did my thing for casting, I asked my friend to read the other lines for me in the role.
Yeah.
And she read the lines, but she also incorporated, like, Joan walks around the kitchen and turns to her
the
mother.
Stage directions.
All of that was included into this video.
If you're not familiar
with... And I still got the role. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
What I was going to tell our listeners, for anybody that doesn't know anything about this business, the stage directions in a script are, yeah, descriptive. Like, she opens the door, she exits. Like, mm-hmm. you don't read those by any mm-hmm. means at any time.
No.
You would never read them out loud.
No, no.
Tig, they must have really, I mean, clearly, they really wanted you in.
Originally. And then in the end, really wanted me out of the film.
Oh my God, that is fan.
I had fun with Kristen Stewart, though. She was really fun to
she
like joke
seems
around
like
with.
She would be.
Yeah, she was really fun to joke around with. And
And what about Joan? How old was Joan at the time?
Well, I didn't ask. You know, never came up. When did the movie come out, Thomas? And I would imagine Joan's like 60 now. Maybe. Maybe Thomas can tell us that. Maybe older. Maybe
Remember,
older?
I Love Rock and Roll. I don't know.
Well, that was in 1982.
Yes.
I Love Rock and Roll, I think, came out. Do you want to check my rock and roll knowledge here?
Okay. Joan Jett is 63 now.
Okay.
Okay.
And The Runaways came out in 2010.
Okay. And then when did I Love Rock and Roll come out?
81.
81.
Joan Jett's version came out in 1981.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I swooped in.
You swooped in.
Okay.
Anyway, this has so much to do with J-Lo, does it not?
Yeah, I know. We've really got to get mm-hmm. going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So today we're talking about Jennifer Lopez Halftime, her documentary. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lopez Halftime is a 2022 documentary film directed by Amanda Michelli. Michelli.
Meatball. Pasta.
It follows the superstar actress, singer, and dancer through her career, ups and downs, culminating in a performance at the 2020 Super Bowl halftime show. Halftime premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival and is now available to watch on Netflix. All right.
Okay.
Okay, right. You guys.
Are you a J-Lo fan?
I like her.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you said, name three J-Lo songs.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like Jenny from the Block.
Well, here's what I learned from the documentary.
Yeah.
That I didn't know that she later became a singer. I thought she started out as a singer.
Yeah, that's a good point. She started out as a dancer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Somebody's feeling real, real proud of themselves.
Yeah.
She started out as a dancer. She grew up in the Bronx. And then at some point, she was fighting with her mom and ran away from home at the age of 18. Although it doesn't, I mean, listen, it seems like if you're 18, is that considered running away from home?
I had a problem with that, too. I mean, you're a fully developed woman running down the street out of town.
It's like
you're taking off in your car.
You're actually an adult. Like, yeah. You don't have to run away from home. It's like, okay, we're parting ways.
Yeah. Or not even a parting ways. I'm moving out. I'm going to go get my own place. Like,
I've had it with you guys. I'm getting my
own
place.
I'm an adult.
And they're like, okay, great.
Yeah. Ran away from, I mean, you must have been like really tight with your family.
To feel like it.
To think that you are a child still and that you need to run away.
Yeah. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I mean, and it sounds like she was.
Yeah.
She has talented sisters. One of them, the family considered a singer. One they considered to be the, you know, brainiac one. And mm-hmm. then they thought of Jennifer as a dancer.
I guess so, yeah.
Did you watch this documentary?
I did. I watched it. I watched it and I stayed awake. I was in Dublin.
Oh, yeah.
I was in bed and it doesn't really make a lot of sense because I had jet lag. And yeah.
Did you say jet lag?
Jet lag.
Okay, lag.
Jet lag.
Jet I had lag. The one jet lag. Okay, yeah. That's what it sounded like.
I probably said jet lag, but it doesn't make sense because I typically fall asleep when I watch TV and film.
Right.
And I was trying to stay up.
Yeah.
And so I watched this movie.
Yeah.
And I did stay awake. There might have been a couple of times when I dozed off, but I feel like I got...
You got the gist.
I got the... Did you say jest?
Yeah, isn't that the word? I got the gist. No. What is it?
Gist. How is it that we're fully formed human beings running away?
Wait, is it G-I-S-T? You know what? My whole life I thought it was...
Jest?
Yeah, like I suggest, like I'll cut it short and just say jest.
Wow, interesting. You're wrong.
Can you hear the... Somebody's vacuuming next door.
Is it Aiden?
Oh, Aiden. I would love
it. Or Brandy.
Or Brandy.
Yeah.
You can't hear that? That doesn't bother anybody?
No, but we have to take a break. And we will be back.
No, no. Oh, no.
We will talk about J-Lo.
J-Lo. Are we still allowed to call her J? Does she still go by J-Lo?
I can't claim to be familiar enough. But, you know, I know who she is, obviously. Okay. She's one of the biggest stars in the world.
She's iconic.
But I don't know what she goes by.
If you met her, would you say, hey, J-Lo, hey?
Well, what I was going to say is I'm, you know, celebrities get little nicknames.
Yeah, okay.
Hers really seems like that's her name.
You think her best friends call her J-Lo?
Yeah.
Oh, I think they call her Jen.
Jenny from the block?
Yeah, Jenny.
But I'm just saying her nickname really...
Suits her?
Suits her. People call her that. Like, yeah.
I mean, it's like Larry David. A lot of people call very close to him people. That's not even a phrase.
Friends.
Call him. Yeah, friends.
The people call those friends.
They call him LD. Uh-huh. You know, not that the world calls him LD.
Yeah, it was a terrible example. But we'll take a break and we will be right back to talk about J-Lo on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back.
We're back.
On
Tig and Cheryl, True Story. And today we're talking about Jennifer Lopez, Halftime. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't want to say it was a lot like, oh, what's her name? Lady Gaga. Remember Lady Gaga we did? And she was doing the halftime.
Yeah.
So there are similarities to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What similarities? Well, I'm curious. What specific
ones?
Well,
that they were in this documentary. A lot of it was building up to the halftime, doing the Super Bowl.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Did you really?
I did. And was it for the same network? No. Gaga was Netflix. This was Hulu.
Oh, I thought you meant for the Super Bowl. What network was the Super Bowl on?
I'm like, what channel was that on? No, that was Netflix. This was Hulu, right?
I couldn't tell you.
They probably had things going.
Oh, like, ooh, we're going to get ours out first?
I don't know.
In our minds, let's say.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know. So, okay, in this documentary, Jennifer, J-Lo, I mean, I wish she would.
Jenny from the block. I have her number.
You want to call her? Will you call her?
I'll FaceTime her.
Why do you have her number?
I don't have her number. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? What situation would get me J-Lo's phone number?
I don't know. You seem to know. You know famous people.
Not J-Lo.
Okay, so J-Lo first becomes a fly girl on In Living Color. Mm-hmm. Did you watch In Living Color?
No.
Oh my God. It was my favorite show. It was a sketch comedy show. I loved it so much. And I loved the fly girls. I dreamed about being a fly girl. In between the sketches, they'd have
Are you serious?
I'm very serious.
Oh, okay.
I could not be more serious.
Okay. All right.
That was like the dream. They were so.
What did they do?
It came out and did hip hop dancing. Like after a sketch ended, they come out and they wore really cool clothes and they were just very, I don't know, they were very hip.
And I'm sorry. And you felt like maybe you fit into that?
I think the world was waiting for me to be a fly girl.
Can you do hip hop dancing?
No, not at all. But I feel like I have good rhythm.
Okay.
And at the time, I probably was so naive. I mean, it's not like I was 10. I was in my...
What were you, 18, running away from home? How old were you?
I mean, I remember... Okay, when was In Living Color on? It must have been on in the late 90s. Because I was living in LA. And I thought, okay. Ooh, I wonder how I could be a fly girl.
1990 to 1994.
Ooh, early 90s.
Okay, so 1990. To mid-90s, yeah.
So I just felt like, oh, if I had the chance, I could probably figure out the moves.
Uh-huh.
And that's actually not. These women were amazing dancers. And like Paula Abdul was a fly girl.
Oh, really?
I think, unless my memories.
Do you remember J-Lo from then? Or no, did they all kind of blur together?
Yeah, they were all, nobody was featured. And that mm-hmm. was also part of the magic of it was just like these girls moving together. It was just amazing. So J-Lo was a fly girl, and that's very exciting. But she said that she wanted to act, and no agent would take her seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the film, it sort of jumps to, okay, the film is called Halftime, and J-Lo has been tapped to do the halftime show for the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And she was going to co-headline it with Shakira.
Uh-huh.
And people were a little angry about it because they felt like, oh, one Latina performer is not enough for the NFL. Uh-huh. They feel like they had to have two.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe J-Lo and Shakira had some sort of connection. I thought... Mm-hmm. Oh, they must know each other and must hang out, go to barbecues together or something. But then when you watch this film, you realize, no, they don't.
Barbecue do you suppose?
Well, I feel like a barbecue in Miami where it's like, oh, well, I don't even know where Shakira lives.
Does J-Lo live in Miami?
Also a good question.
I thought she lived here.
In my mind, they all live in Miami. Like the sexy, beautiful people live in Miami. But yeah. I could be wrong. I mean, I probably...
All the fly girls?
All the fly girls. Well, yeah. I mean, the fly girls did live in LA. So that was also part of this story mm-hmm. was that Jen
had... Jenny from the block.
Jenny from the block was asked to share the halftime with Shakira.
I mean, on what planet is J-Lo not enough?
Or Shakira. I mean, yes, let's focus on J-Lo. Right.
I mean, yeah, the movie, like,
right.
Look, Shakira doesn't have a documentary. J-Lo does.
You don't know that for sure.
So do I. I have, there's a documentary.
So you
could
do that as you should do the Super Bowl halftime this mm-hmm. year.
Yep.
Or next year. Tig, let's start a movement.
Okay.
Tig. Halftime Super Bowl. I guess we'll have to hashtag it.
Hashtag Tig Super Bowl.
Halftime.
It's so catchy.
All the pyrotechnics go off and then you come out and you're like, hey, everyone, how's it going tonight? Yeah. In what world is Jennifer Lopez not enough? And you know, it's only, what, a 12-minute show when you really mm-hmm. boil it down.
Yeah.
So that was also part of the conversation, was who's going to do what, right, in the halftime show?
Yeah. And, you know, now that you're mentioning me at halftime,
yeah,
I would love nothing more than to dance and sing to the best of my ability for 12 minutes at halftime.
I would love that, where it's like, ladies and gentlemen, she's going to give it her all.
She's going to try her best.
She's going to do her best. Let's hear it for Tig Notaro. I said it right. Right. And then like, yeah. Barely. And then all the lights go off and then the music starts and you have backup dancers. And
I have a short skirt. I have like the sexiest outfit.
Oh, are you wearing a sexy outfit?
Well, yeah, it's the Super Bowl, Cheryl. Oh, okay. I'm not just going to go out in like...
in your jeans.
And I'd probably have to start on a pole really high up and like slide down.
Like a fireman's pole slide down?
No, no, no. Like how... remember how J-Lo was holding onto that pole?
That's
like
a stripper. That's a stripper pole.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to start out... you were going to start out on a stripper pole.
Yeah.
By the way, I think you need really strong thighs for that.
Got them.
I only know that you don't because I've leg wrestled you.
That's right.
Otherwise, I would assume that you do. But I think you're going to have to work on your pole dancing.
Okay.
I mean, well, and can I say something?
Yeah, of course. It's a podcast.
When I was on the show Suburgatory.
Braggadocious alert!
I played this character, Dallas, and she was a bit of a larger than life. And
I was on that show.
Yes. And there was a scene where there was a PTA. Oh, am I boring you?
No, I'm just tired, unrelated.
Well,
but the story's not helping.
When in the middle
well,
of
it's not helping. You're yawning it's loudly. Not helping. I'm tired.
Okay, long story short, I took a pole dancing class. Well, one-on-one, because I had to pole dance at the PTA meeting. And I don't know if I told you this story. You know that the gym in West Hollywood that's like a popular one? It's one of the big chain gyms.
Like Crunch or something?
Yes, I think it was Crunch. So they did have pole dancing there. So, I mean, I was already on Curb Your Enthusiasm and Suburgatory, and I am at Crunch doing pole dancing, which was already bad enough. But then did I tell you about the shower situation there? Stop me if you're like, oh no, not this story. But when I took a shower there was a lot of light in the shower stall. And I'm thinking, wow, these guys really like to keep it bright in their shower stalls for whatever reason. And I'm just, you know, washing and scrubbing and doing my business. And then when I walk out.
Cleaning your privates and what have
Exactly. Cleaning my privates and what have you.
The parts of your body that deserve privacy.
Yes. And so when I walk out of the gym, out of the ladies' locker room, I realize that the walls were made to silhouette the people in the showers.
You have told me that.
Yeah.
Maybe even on this show.
I'm sure I have. And listeners, if you're new, welcome to a new story. And if you're old, well, you're welcome for revisiting. But anyway,
not gonna be
that was
the first or last time that happened.
No, but that was the same. It was the same. That was the same gym where they did, you know, pole dancing and whatnot.
It's a great story. I see why you've told it a few times.
Well, the point of the story was if I knew that people were watching me take a shower, it would have been a different shower. And I would have had
different
moves. Well,
first of all, you don't know that people are for sure watching you.
Well, I know for sure that people walked by and could see the silhouette of me cleaning my private parts and not in a cute way.
If you knew someone could see you, would you have like done it in a cute way?
I would have done it.
What is a cute way to clean your private parts?
Well, you know, you like bend over, you know, from the waist, like straight leg bend over. That's one of the things I learned in the.
What are you doing? When you're cleaning your private part?
No, I'm saying if I had to do it in a cute way, that's one of the things I learned at my pole
dancing. Right, but I'm go back. I'm like, if you are straight leg bent over Which private part? What are you doing?
What do you think I'm doing?
I don't know. What are you doing?
Your nether regions?
Yours.
I'm saying this is one of the things that they taught me at the stripper class. That's how you bend over. You bend over from your hips, like keep your legs straight, bend.
And over.
Down.
Okay.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good for me to know for my halftime routine.
Oh,
and we
no.
have to take a break.
Oh, no. We are never going to get through. Okay.
We'll be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story to talk about J-Lo, Jenny from the Block, Jennifer Lopez, the Fly Girl.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
And we're back.
We're back. Okay. Really diving into this. I'm sorry I off-tracked it with my own pole dancing. But because, you know, and I mention it because there is a lot of pole dancing in this film. So, okay, in 1997, Jennifer depicted Selena, who had been gunned down by the president of her fan club. Oh, that's such an awful story. Siskel and Ebert called her performance star-making, and she was making $1 million a picture. So that was huge.
Is that a lot of money?
Oh, my God. Are you seriously asking?
I don't know. Is that Tick. A lot? What?
Don't do that. No. Don't. Do you think a million? If I said I will give you $100 or $1 million, what would you say?
I guess my question is more, is that a lot of money for a movie?
Yes. Well, I think at the time she was, that was the.
It's I make more.
I mean, I'm not laughing. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Do you?
You don't make $1 million. Mm-mm.
After Selena, Jennifer started making music. Mm-hmm. See, this is what's was confusing to me. Not confusing, but.
Well, I'm sure.
You can.
Yep.
So at the beginning of the.
I can les-splain it.
Is that a thing?
No, but I don't think so. But
let's
start it now. I'm going to lesplain. Go ahead.
Okay. Because at the beginning of the movie, it seemed like she was upset that she was a fly girl and nobody was taking her seriously as an actress. And then she did the movie Selena.
After being a fly girl?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
And then she started making music. Mm-hmm. I mean, that only confuses me.
So she goes fly girl, actress, musician.
But it seemed like she always really wanted to. I guess she just wanted to do it all. She wanted to be an actress. She was always, seemingly in this film, she always wanted to be taken seriously as an actress, and that was a strong passion of hers.
And have you seen her in movies acting? I haven't seen her in movies. I've heard her music, and I've seen pictures of her. She kind of reminds me of somebody I dated years ago. Kind of looks like this woman I dated years ago.
Braggadocious alert! I'm sorry. You dated someone that looked like. Is this going to make it in, or are you going to cut this?
Why would I cut it? It's
true. I know, Thomas, don't cut this. But then why? I don't know why you're whispering. People can hear you. They've got their earbuds. Is that what they're called?
Well,
earbuds.
I just...
Okay, wait. So because you dated someone that looked like J-Lo, now you can't watch J-Lo's films?
No, no, no. I was just saying I've seen, you know, I've heard her music. I've seen pictures of her. And then I was just remembering, oh, and also years ago, I thought I would wedge in that I dated somebody that...
Oh, you just wanted to let... So it really was a braggadocious... Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, have I seen her
movies?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I'll say bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to say?
I mean, if it's true, you didn't rent her movie from Blockbuster. You maybe saw her on a plane, like in a movie.
Yes, yes. Very, you know, fun and charming.
Mm-hmm. I found her very charming in this documentary.
Yes.
She wasn't exactly what I thought she'd be like.
Oh, what do you think she'd be like?
Listen.
Yeah, I'm listening. It's a podcast.
I'm sure I... How dare you?
Well, you did it to me.
Well, I will do it again. I think that probably people in her...
Position.
Status. Stratosphere, all of that... are complicated people.
Yes.
And probably there are many people that have different experiences with her.
Yes.
I thought, and I just made an assumption.
Okay.
That she would come across as like full throttle, nonstop, never ending diva type person. And that's not to say she isn't.
You didn't think she would be vulnerable.
Yeah, or just even when she talked, she just seemed very grounded.
Hmm.
And I'm not saying she must be grounded or she is grounded. I don't know anything except her journey to this halftime performance. I know nothing about J-Lo. This is, again, if you've never heard our show, this is not a movie review podcast.
No.
This is two friends.
You're not going to learn anything. You're not going to learn more about Jennifer Lopez for sure.
No. She just was not the personality I thought that she... I don't know how to explain it.
Mm. That's interesting because I thought she was exactly what I thought she'd be because I imagine her to be a very intelligent person. I think she's very strong and that's fun for, I don't want to say fun for girls, but it's, but you know, Jennifer is aware that young girls are looking up to her. I will say a lot of Jennifer's ideas of what the Super Bowl halftime should be was very important for her. Because people were listening to her. She felt, you know, she said, they were listening to me for the first time and I have something to say.
Yeah.
You know? So it was also when Trump was president. It's when, you know, they were detaining families and children at the border and it was very disturbing. So disturbing. And so Jennifer, you know, a lot of the documentary, she talked about that and she talked about how important it was. Which was great, and I love that she was so aware.
Yeah.
There was one little part of me that when the Super Bowl halftime started, because you know, I was kind of waiting for, this message is going to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started with her at the top of the stripper pole. I was like, okay.
Listen, you got to be strong to be on a stripper pole.
Yeah, you do have to be strong.
My one critique about the halftime show is the use of, and I understand why she wanted to use Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, but that song is misused often because the way it makes people feel when they're like, born in the USA, I'm not going to sing.
Please do.
Okay. Born in the USA, I was born in the... Can we have that be like dubbed
USA.
In with Bruce Springsteen? Okay, your turn, Cheryl.
Born in the USA. I was born in the USA. That's all I remember.
Born down in a dead man's town. The first kick I took was when I hit the ground. Okay, so... When people are singing Born in the USA, it's kind of electrifying. And it's all of the positivity of being American and being America. It embraces that feeling.
Yes.
Okay. The song, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say it's anti-American, because it's, I can't imagine Bruce Springsteen is anti-American, but it highlights the not so great things about being American.
Like what? I can't even tell you what the lyrics are. I just know that part.
I think a lot of it had to do with Vietnam and just a lot of not so great. I mean, I could be wrong, but that is my recollection. And so with that knowledge, I just thought it was interesting that they chose that, because I do feel like there have been instances where people use the song and it's just not...
That's not really what the representation of the song was meant to be.
Right, and I know what her intention was.
Right.
And it's not like it took up a big part of the show.
No, but it was interesting, because it was definitely a runner in it. Uh-huh. Because when she found out she was going to do the halftime show, she really wanted Born in the USA to be in there. And then she pitched it to Shakira, and Shakira was like, I don't think so. I wasn't born in the USA. Right. And Jennifer was like, well, that's okay, it's still a good song. And Shakira was, I'm paraphrasing, was like, well, it doesn't, it's not really my vibe.
And then J-Lo was like, well, I'm the biggest star here.
So you know, to J-Lo's credit, she did, it was in there like for 1 second, wasn't it?
It was in there.
We've gotten ahead of ourselves. We've gotten ahead above ourselves, because now we just, I mean, this, the whole documentary is leading up to the halftime show. We just told you what happens. I mean, everybody knows what happens.
Our listeners don't watch the documentaries.
No, but they watched the Super Bowl. They saw J-Lo and Shakira.
Did you see
shake
it?
You didn't see? Oh my God.
No,
yes.
But I saw J-Lo.
Dr. Becky Hines and I.
I love that you bring in Dr. Becky Hines like that. Like, well, Dr. Becky Hines and I, I saw J-Lo when she was at the inauguration.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing about the Super Bowl and thinking, wow, she's really on a roll here.
Made it.
Made it.
Yes. So Dr. Becky Hines and I were texting each other, like most people were, during that halftime show, because I mean, J-Lo was 50 and the lady is like, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She can shake it like nobody's.
And she's not going to break it. Nobody's going to be following around going, shake it, don't break it. J-Lo, don't break it. You're going to break it. Nobody.
No. Uh-uh. Nobody would tell her that, no.
Yeah.
And between her and Shakira and shaking it at the end.
We should invite them to Shakers Please Hold.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. What a great night Shakers Please Hold would have if had J-Lo, Shakira and J-Lo shaking it.
I'm not really familiar with Shakira.
Shakira.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I'm very familiar with her. Thank you.
You know that song. Well, I can't remember the name. And then she shakes it. Anyway, the halftime show was two very strong, beautiful, amazing women, you know, and it made you want to do a few sit-ups, because you're like, oh, I'm just sitting here drinking beer watching these two. And if J-Lo's that's what I felt watching this documentary.
You were drinking beer watching this documentary?
No, but I felt like I wanted to do, but of course I didn't do sit-ups. Or squats.
Yeah.
You know how easy it would have been just to stand up and do squats while I was watching this documentary? But I didn't.
See, I've had spinal fusion, so I can't do a squat. Really.
You can't do a squat.
Yeah, it's hard.
Well, you know who I thought of while
me?
I was watching this? Kind of.
Oh.
Tom Cruise.
How dare you?
Because, you know, Tom Cruise, I don't know him personally, but It seems like he loves being a movie star. Mm-hmm. He is 100% dedicated to it. Mm-hmm. He works out.
He should have been Joan Jett's mom. That would have been a perfect swap out because we look so similar.
You guys look exactly alike.
I'm telling you, I see pictures of him now where I'm like, oh my God, is that, I'm in a new movie. Oh look at me. I'm on the cover of, I see him and I think it's me.
Oh, well, I wonder if he has the same feelings about you.
I wonder if he knows I exist. Does Tom Cruise know I exist?
Let's get him on the horn.
But really, does he know I exist?
Yes. No, I don't think he. I don't think. Listen, do I think Tom Cruise gets up in the morning and like Googles people? No. I think he gets up in the morning.
You don't have to Google people to know who I am.
But how would he know? I feel like he lives in a house in the middle of nowhere surrounded by people and he has his own gym and he has his own stuff and it's like
and nothing I've done has infiltrated
permeated.
Yeah,
permeated?
Nothing
infiltrated. I don't think so.
No. Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, no offense to you. I mean,
well, of course it's offensive. Of course it's offensive. I, in fact, oh my gosh, when I was doing the Runaways movie,
yes,
the woman that was doing my hair and makeup or something, or one of those things,
yeah,
I told her that I am told that I look like Tom Cruise, and she fell over laughing to a degree where I was a little, like, I thought it was going to be like, oh, hi, I can see it or whatever. And then she said, I'm sorry, I just worked with him on a movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know who else I get is,
what, who?
What's his name from In Living Color?
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't see that one as much as Tom Cruise.
Well,
do you think Tom Cruise knows who I am?
For sure, because you're on Curb.
Oh, you think Tom Cruise is sitting at home
and because
watching
of Curb? Suburgatory.
I'm sure he's listening to this podcast right now.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Hey.
Do you think J-Lo is?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, J-Lo. Hey,
J-Lo. Hey. Can I but have your number?
It seems like these two people get up in the morning and they're like, you know what?
I'm a movie star.
I'm a movie star and I'm going to get to movie star business.
Yeah.
They get up and they probably have a protein shake or whatever that looks like.
They have
like
a movie star shake.
They have a movie star shake.
They go on a movie star run.
Yes, they change into their movie star workout clothes.
Yeah.
They spend a few hours working out because that is your instrument.
On their movie star body.
Yes, that's your movie
Meanwhile,
star body.
You're drinking beer on the couch.
And eating potato chips like, oof, God, I hope I get another job.
Yeah.
These two, they're not doing that. They
yeah.
are like,
yeah.
I'm going to look my best.
And they're also like, I can't wait to binge Suburgatory to watch my favorite actress, Cheryl Hines. But who is this person?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do you think that either J-Lo or Tom Cruise are getting up in the morning like, ooh, let me look at Deadline Hollywood and
see what's going on with other Hollywood.
People? What do you look at? What is your routine? You get up in the morning and do what?
And dread getting up.
Your eyes don't pop open and you're like, holy shitballs, I'm a movie star. I got to get to it.
Oh my gosh, I am that friend on a movie. Oh my gosh, I am walking in the background.
I'm the next door neighbor.
I am the one cut out of that film.
Okay, we can wind it down. Okay, let's just listen. I'm just going to like break it down. Oh, one of the big things, okay, this quickly, and I don't mean to spill any beans because, by the way, it happened, but she did this movie, Hustlers. I didn't see it. Did you see it?
No.
But now I want to see it. I don't know. It was hard to, like, get excited to go see beautiful women stripping because I felt like, oh, now I'm going to feel like I need to go home and do squats and sit-ups, and I'm not in the mood. That's bad. But anyway, that's the truth of it. And I feel like I should watch the film.
Well,
because she got a lot of accolades for her acting in the film. And she thought that perhaps she was going to get an Oscar nomination. And she did get a Golden Globe nomination. Mm-hmm. This part I thought was kind of odd. Mm. Just that you get a Golden Globe nomination, that's a big deal. And most people that I know that get nominated at the Golden Globes or the Oscars, and I could be wrong, maybe it's just my perception, you don't feel like you're losing if you don't win that award. It's like, holy shitballs, once again. You were nominated for a Golden Globe. The night is about you. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like she had a real feeling of like, oh, I lost. I didn't win. Mm-hmm. It was very sad that she lost. Her people were all sad that she lost.
Well, yeah.
My family would be jumping up and down in the living room, you know, like, mm-hmm. we're so excited to see you on TV. I mean, I guess I'm not the same as J-Lo.
Right, right.
But she didn't get nominated for an Oscar, and it was very painful for her. And at the same time, she still had the Super Bowl halftime to do.
It's hard to tell what's going on in people's minds when there's that importance there, that's coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, of course, there's the thrill of like, oh, I've been nominated for 2 Grammys and 1 Emmy, which is true.
Oh, for you could not wait to throw that in there.
But,
oh, my. This is another braggadocious alert.
Yeah, I couldn't believe you didn't do anything about it.
Well, it's been overused in this episode. And by the way, that was a conversation. Who has the most braggadocious alerts? And it's you. Go ahead.
Braggadocious alert! Because you don't have as many braggadocious alerts? What do you mean that was a conversation between our snark bowls?
No, between us.
Oh.
Oh, maybe it was who knows more famous people?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. Point is, what was your point?
Oh, just, there's...
You've been nominated for a lot of stuff.
There's certainly fun and excitement and hype around those types of nominations. And there's a buzzkill when you don't win, I guess. But then it becomes still celebratory. I know for myself, it's like, oh, man. But then I've felt like I get wrapped up in the moment in the evening and the, you know, the excitement of it anyway.
Well, I guess you're right. I mean, being nominated twice for an Emmy.
Wow.
But I think I went in thinking I wouldn't win. But you're right. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's like, and for someone like J-Lo, at that point in her life, she's been on lots of red carpets. She's had a lot of attention. And so that wasn't what was fun for her. Right. So if you're being nominated for something for the first time, half of the fun is like, oh, my God, I'm going to the thing. And who am I going to bring with me? And
oh, gosh. See, well, that's where you and I are very different. Red carpets and stuff. No, thank you.
Oh, well, then I hope the Academy is not listening because you don't want to discourage them.
Mm-hmm. I love red carpets. I love them.
Okay, so she does her show. Okay, let's skip to it. J-Lo does her halftime show.
I can't believe I already lost my Oscar.
Yeah. Well, now you're never even going to be in, you know, they're not even going to talk about you.
Right.
Because they know that you're not going to bring it on the red carpet.
Anyway, go ahead.
So J-Lo does the Super Bowl halftime. She brings it. There's a lot of pole dancing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ass out, shake it till you don't break it. Mm-hmm. And most people loved it.
Yeah.
Like everybody went crazy for it. And it was also funny because in the documentary, she was like, but you know, I still have more to do. Mm-hmm. Like she was talking like she was 80. She was like, you just danced in a thong at the Super Bowl last week. Like, yeah, you still have more to do.
I wish she would have danced in a thong for inauguration.
Could you imagine? I was waiting for her to like rip off her. But tonight, dink. Oh, one thing that was interesting in the Super Bowl, you know, she had her 12-year-old daughter sing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's also like, where do you go from there? If you're 12 and it's like, yeah, I did the Super Bowl last weekend.
Well.
It's like, where do you go? What what are you doing after that? Talent shows at middle school? No. You know what I mean? It's like, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So she sang at this, at Obama's inauguration. This land is your land.
Obama's?
Wasn't it Obama's? Am I crazy?
Yeah.
Oh, Biden?
Yeah.
Please let the record show that she sang at Biden's inauguration.
Did you not watch the inauguration?
I did.
I love that the Super Bowl performance is more etched in your mind than Biden beating out Trump.
Oh, no, no. No, you cannot say that. That is not true. Ugh, good.
She loves him.
J-Lo has sold 80 million records. She starred in 40 films with a $3 billion gross. It was kind of strange at the end that they showed these statistics because you don't usually see that at the end of a documentary.
I know.
Where it's like, oh, you know what? What they've done at the box office and how much they've brought in on merchandise? It's like, okay, that's it's like, that's cool.
That's cool.
It's just a little strange.
What if at the end of the movie, it just said in big, bold letters what she brought in on merchandise only? That's the only thing.
Roll credit.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's J-Lo. Mm-hmm.
That's J-Lo for you. Would have been a great title.
There's always room for J-Lo.
Make room for J-Lo.
And I will say that there were times when, you know, she was in the tabloids and her love life.
Yeah.
Yes, which is, I mean, it kind of comes with the territory, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I've always been interested and curious about, I mean, she was with A-Rod, right?
Yes.
J-Lo and A-Rod. And then wasn't he, maybe people were speculating he was unfaithful?
Oh, Thomas is nodding yes.
Okay. And
I mean, that's crazy.
And then.
It's crazy for a lot of reasons.
And then she jumped ship, went back to Ben Lowe.
Ben Affleck. Bennifer. Yes. Bennifer.
But I was just thinking, like, I can't imagine what ex of mine I would just have on.
You'd be like, no, I'll go back to what's his name or what's her name.
Yeah, like, I guess I'd go back. Yeah, I don't know. And then it just works out and she's now back with Bennifer. And then.
Yeah, and everybody's like,
miss
okay.
a beat. Like, is that to get over her pain of A-Rod? Or is it like, do you know what I mean? It just feels like you're either still pining away for Bennifer, or you are so burned by A-Rod that you're like, I'm just going to jump back into this. You know what I mean?
Well, it's kind of that thing like back in the day when one was single, like you would, and I mean you, other people, would, after a breakup, you call the previous girlfriend or boyfriend because you're like, hey, what you doing tonight?
Right.
Because you already have a relationship. You know that they liked you at one point. Right. And it's like, okay.
So they did that.
Still around?
And then it just like spiraled.
Yeah. And then it was like, yeah,
let's give it a whirl, like, again. And then what is A-Rod thinking? Is he like, wow.
Don't care.
Oh, okay. You don't care, or J-Lo doesn't care?
Well, not that I just learned he cheated. It doesn't matter what A-Rod. Okay. I mean, but yeah, you would have to wonder. Was A-Rod like, were they secretly texting when I went to sleep at night?
Right.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I would just, or is J-Lo like, this is going to make his head spin. You know what I mean?
Oh.
And then how is Bennifer feeling when he's like, oh, she just did that, and then I'm... like,
then what happens if we get in a fight at the movies? She's gonna go home and text
Mark
A-Rod.
Anthony. Marque.
Mm. What did you call him?
Marque.
Why did you call him that?
Marklo.
Oh, Mark A.
Marklo. Markifer.
Markifer.
Anyway, those are just my questions about her love life.
Okay.
No judgment. I'm truly just like,
how does
that work?
It's fascination. It's not judgment.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I'm trying to think of doing that with Stephanie, because if she cheated on me and I was like, oh, really? I'm back with so-and-so.
Yeah.
Then it
you
would
gotta
feel
keep
like
one person on the hook.
Yeah. It would feel like, oh, well. But then it doesn't matter because she cheated on me. So who cares if I was always texting my ex?
Right.
That we were both cheating. Who cares?
She can't say anything.
J-Lo wasn't cheating, though. I know she wasn't cheating.
She was so busy.
Yeah. A-Rod should have been busy, too. Anyway, we're finished with the episode.
Are you ready for our final thoughts?
Yes.
It is time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this documentary. Did you cry?
No.
Even when you found out the sale of the merchandise? Okay, who were you attracted to?
J-Lo.
Yeah,
1,000,000%.
I mean, Shakira's off.
J-Lo.
Oh, my God.
J-Lo.
And then Ben Affleck was in it for... Okay.
Who were you attracted to?
Well, I feel like everybody in there.
You were attracted to everyone?
I mean, Ben Affleck, Jennifer, Shakira.
A-Rod?
He is attractive.
See, I don't get the A-Rod thing.
Well, my feelings just changed when I found out.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. That's all for this week's episode. Next week, we will be talking about Tab Hunter Confidential on Amazon Prime. Before we go, do you want to read one fan mail?
Yep.
This is from Mel. Hey, Mel. Hey, TNC. Hey. I was listening to the Happily Ever After Thoughts from the Alpinist episode, your stories about bathroom emergencies, and I was taken back to a first date I had with a guy. We went for a hike at a nature preserve, and about a mile in, he said he had to go off to the bathroom. Off he walked into the woods and came back with no socks. Oh, no. I asked about his socks and he let me know he did a number two in the woods and used his socks as TP on a first date. We dated for about a year. My standards weren't what they are now. Love you both, Mel.
See, I thought she was going to say he pooped in one of the socks and then used the other sock as TP.
So were you were pleased with the ending?
Well, no, I would have been pleased if he pooped in one of the socks.
To do what with it?
Swing
to
it
bring
around,
it back to
swing
her?
It around and toss it.
No. All right, guys, that's it for today.
Check my website for tour dates and
same.
Buy my album called Drawn. Drawn. It's from my HBO special of the same name, Drawn.
Mm-hmm.
Cheryl, do you have anything?
You can watch The Flight Attendant on HBO Max. You can watch Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO or HBO Max. There's other stuff out there. Just Google it. Okay.
Should we do it again?
Yes. Let's do it again. Born in the USA. I was born in the USA. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sesson. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast. That was a HeadGum Podcast.